TV.
This is your favorite, world's most outspoken Bible scholar here, Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. The first order of business here is to stop my forehead from bleeding. I think I banged it on the hatch, on the trunk hatch of the car. And I'm taking a couple aspirin a day to thin my blood. Sasha, the guru, the Peruvian guru, the immunology guru from Peru, he did some tests on me when we were there last month, or was that a couple months ago? I can't remember. Anyway, he said he thought my blood was a little too thick. There's my problem. I got thick blood. I thought maybe that was good. No, it's not. I have to take some aspirin. So my blood's thin, so I can't quite get this to stop. But we'll keep an eye on it. Let me know if, you know, the blood starts dripping down my face. Anyway, isn't mortality wonderful? Oh, yes, it is. We all enjoy it very much. Very much. I hope you've watched the last two Rodney Parris, Martin Zender specials. I flipped when I saw these tapes discovered. Some VHS tapes discovered from 1995. Some Bible studies I made at my home. I believe it was probably the late summer 94 when I went to a conference, started getting invited to speak at all these conferences, and one was in Baldwin, Michigan. There's a little chapel there, little chapel, and my family and I would go there every summer and every fall for probably 6-7 years. And there was a woman I met there. Her name was Dorothy Van Buren, and she was from Wisconsin. She let us borrow her camera. She heard that I was having Bible studies at my house with a few people in our living room, which grew as time went on. And she said, well, why don't you film them? So last Sunday was the first Rodney and I broadcast, the first time any address of mine was ever filmed. And so that was last Sunday, and yesterday was part two. And I apologize for the shorts I'm wearing. You see them in part one. My shorts are so embarrassing. The embarrassing aspect of part two is my glasses. So, you know, I mean, God, it's so early 90s, right? So anyway, but the truth is tremendous. There's a whiteboard there, and the information I have on the whiteboard is so simple, so helpful concerning our expectation. That's what it's about, our expectation. You know, there are some people, I'm thinking of one person in particular who mocked the two evangelists. Mocked it, said it stinks. This, and he argued with me constantly about the two gospels, called me crazy, said it's just awful teaching, get back on the right track. And then a few months later, he totally got it. It's like, ding, the download came. And then it became a great genius teaching, and the man became a great promoter of it. So this happens with other teachings as I go along. Not only this gentleman, but other people, they think that certain teachings, that they don't like certain teachings, are crazy, you know, up to and including the snatching away, you know, the two gospels, the sovereignty of God, the deus of Christ, right, the pre-existence of Christ, all these things some people think is just crazy, and then, ding, they get to download one day, and all of a sudden, you know, they're preaching it like they invented it, which is fine. It doesn't matter to me as long as the word gets out. So, my sister has linked below the video from Sunday, black and white, summer of 95, some wonderful people in that living room that are no longer with us, but the teaching has not changed. It's such a beautiful thing. I'm a little trepidatious. I mean, the teaching is like solid, but I'm not the free-willing, colorful person I am today. I'm very serious, very studious, don't want to make a mistake. Now, I still don't want to make a mistake, but I'm much more freewheeling now. But anyway, it's a matter of record, the historic record, the scriptural record has not changed. Such a beautiful thing. Check that out. Watch it if you haven't seen it already. Second order of business is to let you know that in May, The conference in Kansas City is coming. Yes, Kansas City, Missouri, same place it was last year. This was an extraordinary conference in that we had nearly 80 people there. I believe there were 78 people there. I could be wrong, but I've never seen that many people in a first year conference. And the reason is so simple, because Kansas City is centrally located. It's within driving distance of like 8 states. You know, many people drove. I mean, not to say the people didn't come from as far away as Seattle, and I came from Fort Lauderdale. So, I mean, people come from all over, but it's easier for people to drive. That's why. And so I said, if we're going to have another conference, let's have it here. And so I want to give you the dates for that. This is, I can't say definitively yet because the contract hasn't been signed, but it's so close, and I would call it as good as done. And I would say you can start making plans to come to Kansas City, Missouri. I will be the keynote speaker there. There will be other speakers to be announced May 15th, 16th, and 17th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Put it on your calendar now. Talk to your boss at work. Get the time off. Am I bleeding still? Get the time off May 15th, 16th, and 17th. Now, this hotel is nice, and that's another reason people came. It's comfortable. It's a good place. It's a great conference room, beautiful. It's a little expensive, but it's the most reasonable place in the area. Kansas City is a major conference center, and so things are a little expensive. So the organizers want to see if we can get some money raised for the conference. And so along that line, Greg Davis, he's the guy you're going to contact if you want to come to the conference. I'll put his email address down here. Kelly will be sending a formal email out like today, I think. If there are some people who are not subscribed to my homepage, martincenter.com, do that now. Go there. Go to martincenter.com, scroll down, sign up, and then you will get all the emails from headquarters. You will be completely up to date with all the conference information, some inside info. You get some bonus material there that is not published yet. You'll get inside info about books coming out and all of that. So there will be an email, and I'm going to wait till the email comes out. So tomorrow I will have more detailed information, but we're asking for contributions. I'm specifically asking those people who aren't planning on coming to the conference. This may sound strange, but this is just me. I'm specifically asking, how much? I think it's $3,000. I know that I cringe to say that because that's a lot of money, but we have our people working deals, trying to get some discounts, some bargains, and everything. They're going to set apart a block of rooms. But when you see how many people come to this conference, it's worth it. It really is worth it. Never seen so many saints gathered in one place. This is a big deal. These conferences are a big deal because Seth Follenkamp puts them online. They're live. They're live streamed. And then Greg Davis records my talks. And so the live stream is seen live, but it's also in the bank, so people can watch it anytime. So it's not just those at the conference who are benefiting. It's worldwide, baby. Worldwide, on the World Wide Web. And for people to meet each other. And if you've never been to a conference, please come to this conference. This is going to be, I'm convinced this is going to be the last conference. Okay? So, I mean, because the eon's going to end pretty soon here. So come to the conference. Would love to see you there. May 15th, 16th, and 17th. And so I'm asking those who are not planning to attend, because the people who are coming to the conference, they have enough expenses. I mean, they're paying for their travel, for room arrangements. Those who can't make the conference, who are weeping even now as they regrettably can't make it. They wish they could. They wish they could. I want to come to the conference so bad, but what can I do? Here's what you can do. You can help us if God puts it on your heart. This is not required in any way. If God puts it on your heart to want to help pay for, to reserve this hotel for those organizing it. The Pirates organizing it. Paula is organizing it. And Greg is organizing it. So, And I don't want these people to have to put this money up front out of their own pocket. So Greg is going to have a PayPal account specifically for this. So let this ruminate in your heart. And tomorrow I'm going to give the PayPal thing after I make sure everything's right. Okay, I'm going to give the PayPal address. The reason PayPal is going to be good is because if for some crazy reason, like not enough people are interested, which I don't think is going to happen, or, you know, the conference is canceled or whatever, I don't know, but you'll be able to get your money back. So you'll be able to, yeah, if you contribute and there's no conference, you will get your money back, says Greg Davis. I'm not saying if you're going to the conference, you can't contribute, of course, but for those who, again, can't make it and want to do something, this would be a great way to help other people attend the conference and to provide for the meat that's going to go out at this conference, to provide for it to go out live stream, thanks to Seth Vollenkamp, and also on the internet, on YouTube. It's going to be YouTubed. You think I should go ahead and put... Okay, they're saying that since I'm going ahead and giving... Because it's pretty sure, right? I mean, the contract's not signed yet. Ongoing negotiations. Okay, what is this? Like an international... Okay. Well, if there's some... tough nuts at the hotel. All right, well, they're telling me that I should go ahead and put the PayPal address on there now. So just go for it, because this thing's almost a sure thing. It's almost in the bag. So let's get an indication today of how many people want to attend. I'll put Greg's email address, and here comes the PayPal link. And then the link will be below here too. So it's a live link. You'll be able to click this and make a contribution on PayPal. Very simple. And it's for the conference, specifically for the conference. If you can make it, but especially if you can't make it and you want to do something to help, this would be great. So, okay, email Greg, tell him you're coming. And then those of you who can, thank you for helping the organizers book this place. Let's get it done. Get it done. All right, I received a wonderful email, and I want to read it to you because it's going to help all of you. It's about the Potter's House. It's about the sovereignty of God. And this is a truth that never gets old. And so I got the permission. I'm not going to name this person. That's okay. This is a member of the body of Christ who loves the show. And this is the email here. And then I'm going to go to the scriptures. I'm going to go to Jeremiah, because he's the one that went down to the potter's house and learned the lesson of the potter, that God is the potter, we are the clay. Such a simple truth, but no Christian believes it. No member of any religion believes that God is the potter and humanity is the clay. They think that every human being has a free will. They think that every human being is independent, operates independently of God. That must include everything. I mean, the heartbeat, the breathing, who their parents were, what year they were born. They were in control of all of it. You see, all of it, where they moved when they were kids, they were in control of their DNA. They controlled that. Whether or not they're in the body of Christ or not, that's the most important thing of all. Is it not? They control that. What they eat for breakfast, they control that. Whether they love God or not, they control that. Oh, they control everything. They are kings and queens of their own lives. Yes, that's what all these religious people think. And Christians are especially quick to point out that they have free wills. And oh boy, they even write articles that say, where will you spend eternity? And then when you start to read the article, it says the most important decision you will ever make in your life is where you will spend eternity. That's right. And that's right. You thought it was up to Jesus Christ? No, it's up to you. It's up to you where you spend eternity. So you better get busy. Say the sinner's prayer. Get down to that altar. Repent of your sins. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Because this offer is limited, and supplies are definitely limited. The sacrifice of Christ is for sure limited. The power of God to make happen what he wants to happen is extremely limited. So work it up. I don't care how red your face gets. I don't care how you have to ball your fists. I don't care what what program you have to get on, what kind of feat of asceticism you must perform. Do it and do it now. Get on board this train's leaving the station with you or without you. Toot, toot. The Jesus Christ Express. He's got blindfolds on. He's got earplugs because he can't influence you. Oh, he wants to. He would love to influence you to get you on board the Salvation Train. Toot, toot. But he can't do it. He's not allowed. His father told him, you can't influence anyone. You can't even whisper into their ear because they must make an independent decision. If you influence them, they're not independent anymore. Because free will means without influence. Everyone has a free will. I can't influence anything, and you, my son, cannot influence anything. That's why we have blindfolds on and earplugs, because we're so tempted to influence people, but we just can't do it. Oh, I've told you many times how I regret that I gave humanity a free will. I was once the only free will in the universe. I could do anything I wanted back in those days. Then I decided to give it away to one person, Adam. How was I to know that Adam and Eve were going to have so many... Oh, I told them to be fruitful and multiply. My second biggest mistake. All right, let's go to the letter. I can really see the dichotomy you have in your life. You're right. It was like Paul going to the third heaven. You get revelations, and this is not just me, but all of us, we can relate to this. You get revelations. And we get painted for us the majestic masterpiece of who we are in Christ. And then, boom, we plunge into this world headfirst. And the paint is all around the mess of God's creation. I think of, this is me, I think of a scaffold of a construction man, construction woman on a scaffold building a house. And there's the painters, too. Painters use scaffolding, and they have plastic all over the place, and there's paint. It's a mess, but it's the building process, the building process. This world looks like a mess. God is building it, and we have faith that God knows where he's taking it. This is the whole thing. This is about faith. What a mess, this writer says, but the masterpiece remains. It's similar to coming out of the womb. This is a great analogy. Listen to this. It's similar to coming out of the womb. Wafting in the warm embryonic fluid, warm, cozy, even though things are growing a little tight, in there we have the luxury of the known. And the known is hearing our parents' familiar, muffled voices, rocking in her womb as she walks, hearing her rhythmic heartbeat count out each second of our existence, always there, so reassuring. We don't appreciate how we are kept alive. We don't understand the placenta and the umbilical cord. All that is unnecessary for us to ponder. We just float in the luxuries of the womb and the life it provides for us. But then we get thrust into bright lights, people talking, getting our feet pricked for blood tests. Along with that, we get abrupt sounds of things clanking. Oh, that really got to me. Things clanking. I cannot stand clanking things. I bet we would all like to crawl back into that womb. I'm sure a home birth with low lights, controlled sounds of light music, a more relaxed atmosphere would be the best option. But we would still prefer the womb. Yeah, darn right we would. Adam was always looking to the womb. Oh, yes, he was. He didn't understand why, but just as the baby didn't understand the placenta and the umbilical cord that kept it alive, neither did Adam understand his craving for that place. Ever since God used the womb to form Eve, man is drawn to that portal of life and comfort. No, we have no control, no security outside of our measure of God's faith that he chooses to give us. He knows best, and he knows what awaits us. Just like the pottery, being poked and scraped and sometimes smashed down to restart the process. Cold water thrown on the pottery to keep it pliable. Sometimes it is covered with a wet towel and sits until the potter comes back to work on it. Even that is part of the process. Hands that have a purpose forming it, while the pottery sees those hands as another tool to mar them into form. The potter is loving and has purpose unknown to the piece being created. The pottery never knows when the next wedge or groove will be inserted into its form. It doesn't realize the potter has a plan. Oh, but we finally have come to realize it, haven't we, that the potter has a plan. That's a great day when that happens. The pottery is totally in the control of the loving hands of its creator, but doesn't realize the process or how far into the process the potter has taken it. That's true. We don't understand the whys of things. We know that God's hands are on us, but we don't really always understand the whys of it, except that we're being made into a special vessel. Is there more? Are we there yet? I had to laugh when I read that. When you were a kid, what do you always ask your dad driving the car or your mom driving the car? What do you always say? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Constantly, you want to be, are we there yet? And now here we are, adults, and we're asking the same thing of God who's driving the car. Are we there yet? Every day, every time I see Manfred, I look at him, I say, why aren't we snatched away yet? Manfred says, are we there yet? We don't appear to be. Then comes some comforting final smooth finishing touches. His hands masterfully hover gently over the finished product. We are examined. The potter looks with joy over his workmanship. Ah, relief. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained for us to walk in. We must see things through the eyes of Christ Jesus and our loving Father, our potter. Yes, we are pressed on all sides. We feel pushed upon and marred. In the process, we are a mess, like the wet, cold, unformed pottery upon the wheel. But we are a work in progress, our outcome known only to our Creator. And yet, if I can add this, He shares that outcome with us. Whom He designates beforehand, these He calls. Whom He calls, these He justifies. Whom He justifies, these He glorifies. That is our outcome. We can trust His hands. No, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the specific purpose for which we were made will be revealed to us. We will be amazed. Oh, I believe that. I totally believe that. We will understand the pain, the discomfort, and the fire that molded us into the image of His Son for His glory and His purpose. And our divine purpose will delight us. Yes, it will. There is joy and peace beyond our comprehension at the end of all this. I'm like, say that again, the end of all this. Beautiful words. We will be valuable pieces of His workmanship. Then the writer says to me, you get to explain that every day to the body of Christ. But then the potter's wheel begins to spin again. That has to be tough. Speaking, coming full circle here, speaking at the beginning of the glorious message, the glorious job God has given me to announce the evangel, and then to fight the struggles and the battles of life, the anxiety, the depression, the suffering that goes with this walk. The sufferings specific to this particular job that I have, you have your own sufferings specific to what God has put you into. And so we get these high points, and we, especially at a conference. But I've said before, when you go to a conference, it's like a battery charge. And a conference could take you for a week afterwards. Some people have been known to ride the wave of joy for 2 weeks. Yeah, that's right. They must have powerful spiritual cells that are able to store up the warmth and love and knowledge of a conference and let it sustain them for 2 weeks. It lasts me about 3 days. Yeah, I'm a hardened professional, unfortunately, but I look forward to the next show. God has given me this wonderful platform where I put on 5 conferences a week, and I love doing this for you. So the writer says, you have to explain that every day to the body of Christ. Then the potter's wheel begins to spin again. I know what you mean. That has to be tough. Well, yes, it is. But you are God's. Thank you for that. You belong to Him. Always great to be reminded of that. And He sees the progress. Yes, He does. And I can even see it sometimes. And knows the finished product will be as He planned. Love to you and Maria. I want to thank the writer of that beautiful email. And now, let me finish off today by going down to the Potter's house. I said down to the Potter's house. That was not an accident, because that's the way the scripture puts it. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, rise and go down to the house of the potter, and there I shall announce to you my words. So Jeremiah said, I went down to the house of the potter, and behold, he was making a work on the wheel stones. Yet the vessel which he was making with clay was ruined in the hand of the potter. All part of the process. No panic. Nobody freak out. It looked to be ruined from the eyes of Jeremiah, but it was perfectly part of the plan. And he turned back and made it into another vessel, a better vessel, just as it seemed upright in the eyes of the potter to make. Now, I want to emphasize two things. First thing is, I have to tell you, this is the example Paul is drawing upon. I better go here quick. This is what Paul's drawing upon in Romans chapter 9. For the scripture saying to Pharaoh, for this selfsame thing, I rouse you up that I should be displaying in you my power so that my name should be published in the entire earth. Consequently, then, Romans 9:18, to whom he will, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. You will be protesting to me then. Why then is he still blaming? For who has withstood his intention? O man, who are you to be sure who are answering again to God? That which is molded, here's the analogy, started back in Jeremiah, that which is molded will not protest to the molder. Why do you make me thus? That's very embarrassing when the pot complains to the potter. Or has not the potter the right, yes, the right over the clay, out of the same kneading, the same lump of clay, to make one vessel indeed for honor, yet one for dishonor? That's right, the right. The potter has the right. Now let's go back to Jeremiah, chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, rise and go down to the potter's house. Why do I keep emphasizing down? Because you have to go down. Jeremiah literally went down a hill to the potter. The potter lived downhill, I guarantee you. I don't know his address, but Jeremiah went down to the potter. And there's a reason. That was literal. But it also has a metaphoric sense, is that one has to be humbled to get this truth. You have to go down. You have to finally get an honest assessment that in your flesh dwells no good thing. You have to be humbled. God has to bring you to a place of lowness before you can apprehend this most glorious truth. One of the most glorious truths in the scripture, and that is that God is the potter and humanity is the clay. And he works with human beings as easily as a potter works with clay. That's the analogy. The analogy is God is analogizing humans with clay. I know we're not clay, we're human beings, but the analogy is, the metaphor is that God can work with human beings who aren't even aware of it as easily as a potter works with clay. And the clay is just as helpless. Or I should say, the human being is just as helpless as the clay that Jeremiah saw when he went down to the potter's house. Down, 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 down in your own estimation, down in your own vaunted, your own imagined ability to choose the proper course, to choose God, to choose to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have any such power. None. Zero. Zilch. And if anybody watching me, most of my subscribers know all this, but if anyone's watching who's new, go down and get this revelation. Paul elaborates on this in Romans chapter 9. This is the unknown truth of Romans 9, that God is in control of every single thing that happens with the human race. Not just the human race, but the whole universe. But this is specifically talking about the human race. Free will? Forget about it. There's only one free will in the universe, and that is God's.